Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Conversations Live, where we bring you the best in music, books, entertainment, and current events. When the movers and shakers of the world have something to say to you, they say it to us. Now, here is your host, Cyrus Webb.
And welcome back, everyone, to Conversations Live. I'm your host, Cyrus Webb. Glad you all could join us once again. For our radio audience tuning in Mississippi at WYAD 94.1 FM, that is joining us on the East Coast in Atlanta at 106liveradio.com, and those joining us around the world through our friends at blogtalkradio.com, we're glad you all could be with us as well. You know, I think all of us have a favorite movie where space travel or being in space or doing something in space is part of the storyline. I think it's one of those things that we all are kind of fascinated about, including our next guest. We're excited to welcome to our program today Ariel Waldman. She's the author of the new book, What's It Like in Space? Stories from Astronauts Who've Been There. It's a fascinating look not only at some of the things I think we all take for granted, but also that can be glamorized sometimes in some of the movies that we see. Ariel was able to hear from individuals who definitely know the experience firsthand, you know, what everyday things can be like eating or sleeping. So we're going to talk to her not only about her own love of space, but also what it's been like for her to share that with all of you, not only online, but now in the book. Ariel, hello to you, and welcome to the program.
Thanks so much for having me.
Hey, the pleasure is definitely all mine. And we can kind of begin the conversation, I think, with the glamorization of space life and being in space, Ariel, because I think, again, we all see these movies where it just seems as though, you know, everything's just going about like we would do here on Earth. And what this book does, I think, is really burst that bubble, so to speak, and let people know that, you know, just the simple things in life that we take for granted sometimes here on Earth are not always as easy when it comes to being in space. First of all, what was it like for you to talk to these individuals and to get these firsthand accounts?
It was really just absolutely amazing. I think, you know, space exploration is one of those weird things where, you know, only around 550 people or so have ever been in space, which is an incredibly small number. That said, slowly but surely more people have been going into space, and they all have different experiences and different takes on it. And so I think that's really the thing that I enjoyed the most about talking to different astronauts, was that they have different opinions like anyone else. And so some love being in space for a long time. Others don't like being in space for a long time. And I think as we can get more diversity of people there, we can start realizing that going into space isn't just a very singular sort of experience.
Yeah, I think that's the interesting thing. And as I said, this is something even before this book, Ariel, I noticed when I was prepping for the segment that you have been able to share your love, you know, of all things, you know, outer space with others. I mean, when did this first begin for you? Because I noticed even in some of the interviews that you've done with others, even before us, you know, the excitement that you have about discussing, you know, space. I mean, when did you first discover this passion for yourself?
Yeah, it's interesting. A lot of people assume that, you know, I was a big space geek growing up, but the reality is I kind of wasn't. I wasn't, you know, space and science wasn't really on my radar growing up. I was more of, you know, an art kid. And so I went to art school and, you know, majored in graphic design. But a few years ago, I was watching a documentary called When We Left Earth about the early days of NASA trying to figure out how to send people into space. And I was really inspired by it because I realized that NASA during the early days, you know, they weren't knowing everything about space exploration. They were having to figure it out as they went along. And so I wrote someone at NASA an email, someone I had never met before, saying that I was a huge fan of what they were doing. And if they ever needed someone like me, someone completely without a science background, that I was around. But serendipitously, I was able to get a job at NASA from that email, and it completely changed my life and made me realize that actually space and science need all sorts of people to contribute to them and to be involved. And so ever since, I've focused my work on really making space exploration more accessible to everyone.
Yeah. You know what I thought was interesting, and this may be totally showing my nerdy side, Ariel, but I thought when I was reading your book, I personally have never had any real interest in space per se. But what I thought was so interesting when I was reading the book and that really struck me was how it really is about being able to face what we do not know. And I think all of us do that in whatever it is that we want to do in life. I know I do it on this program, you know, 7 days a week. And I think for other people, it is about exploring something that is uncharted, you know, things that they don't know what's going to happen. Was that an interesting thing for you, or something that you thought of during this journey, that, that really space exploration really is a great metaphor for what all of us do when it comes to going for our goals and dreams and following our passion?
Yeah, I think even beyond following our passions, it's really about following your curiosity. And I think that's something that is really exciting about space exploration, is that there's a lot of curious things out there, whether it's what you're going to be experiencing as an astronaut, or what it's going to be, what you're going to be learning about deep space. There's so many curiosities about things, and just following them and really exploring them is so rewarding. It's really a delightful experience. And so with all the astronauts and exploration, it's an interesting balance, because, you know, so much of being an astronaut is about training and being very scripted, eliminating the unknowns. But that said, obviously the feelings of what it's like in space are still kind of unknown, even when they're explained to you. And so people exploring that is just amazing.
Yeah, I think that is so true. We're going to talk about some of the things that you actually share in the book. For those who are just tuning in, either on the radio dial or online, you're listening to Conversations Live. We're excited to welcome to our program today Ariel Waldman. She's the author of the new book, What's It Like in Space? Stories from Astronauts Who've Been There. And part of what they share with you, I think the word that I think comes across the most for me, Ariel, in the book is appreciation. I think, you know, there's an appreciation, I think, that we have to have for gravity, something we all take for granted because it's just here. We don't really think about it, per se. But what was it like for you to see how not having that, you know, how that really does change everything from the way that you eat, the way that you sleep, and the way that you're able to do daily functions, even like sneezing like we do here?
Yeah, it's both a psychological and physical effect. So one of the things that I found most fascinating from astronauts and interviewing them were how astronauts, while they're in space, sometimes report having backwards dreams, where they would dream that they were back on Earth, everything mostly normal except for gravity. And so gravity would be a bit off in their dreams, which I found really cool. Equally, when astronauts return back to Earth, some astronauts have reported that when they're sleeping and then they wake up in the morning, for a few seconds, they believe that they're floating above their bedroom and that everything in their bedroom is, you know, sort of floating with them, so that they're maybe like on the side of their bedroom watching their dressers and other furniture float around, which I thought was funny.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's experiences like that have to do with dreams, but then there's also, you know, the physical ones. So, you know, dropping things when you come back to Earth because you forget about, that there's gravity at play.
Yeah, I think that is such an amazing thing. You know, and you have been able to, you know, of course, through books like this, you'll reach people literally around the world, and you've been able to use the various platforms at your disposal to be able to share a lot of what you've learned. Ariel, what surprises you the most about the misconceptions about traveling to space and what life is like for those individuals who have been in that small group that have gone?
To me, really, you know, the most surprising stuff is really the stuff that some people might say is mundane, but I think is great, is, you know, we're so used to, like, in movies and shows and other forms of media, seeing either a very romanticized version of space exploration or a very fear-inducing side of space exploration. And the reality is like any other human experience, is that it's profoundly a human experience. It's, you know, it's got great bits, but other bits are sort of, I don't know, they sort of read like a camping trip from hell in some ways with an amazing view. And so to me, it was really, hearing from astronauts who talked about, you know, they'd do something and they felt embarrassed and, you know, for, oh, maybe they messed something up. Here they are in space and what if they get in trouble for, you know, touching the wrong thing, and, you know, stuff like that, that just made it a lot more relatable. Or things like, you know, not getting any sleep the entire time you're there because you wanted to spend all of your sleeping hours just looking out the window. Things that really just sound like things that I would do.
Right, right. And then you share in the book, you know, one of the stories is Like Home. That one really struck me because it really, I think that, you know, it's one of those things that the longer you experience something, sometimes the more that you kind of have the appreciation. What was it like for you to be able to see that, to be able to see how an individual like that you profiled in the book, like Michael, who spent almost a year there, how it really did just kind of become like, really like home?
Yeah, it was interesting. Yeah, some astronauts reported that, like, when you're able to be in space for an extended period of time, that, yeah, you really get the sense of living in space and actually feeling like it is home. And so a number of people said, you know, they actually preferred being in space for longer periods of time because everything really became familiar. They had time to really collect their thoughts and reflect on things and have more profound experiences. But that said, there were also astronauts who said that they didn't enjoy the longer missions as much because some of the romanticism wore off and they had to really spend a lot of effort to think about their mood every day and really adjust their mood every day and make sure that, you know, they didn't get too homesick or didn't, you know, get too sort of exhausted. So, you know, for everyone it's a bit different, but certainly I think the idea of actually feeling like you're living in space and not just up there for a few days, I think for a lot of people that has been a really amazing feeling because it is profoundly different from just being there for a few days and getting to see some cool sights. You get to really understand what it's like to live in space.
I think that also there's that residual effect when they do come home. Another story that fascinated me was Karen Nyberg, where she talked about it was under waking afloat. And there, I thought this was so interesting, and I'll just read a part of this. Astronauts float when they come back to Earth, or at least that's what their brains trick them into believing. A few astronauts have reported the sensation of floating above their beds when they wake up. Astronaut Karen Nyberg recalled waking up and thinking she was weightless, hanging from her wall, looking down on her dresser from above. I mean, you know, what was it like for you to hear stories like that? I mean, Ariel, about how even when they were home, how it still kind of lingered with them.
I think it was, I don't know, it was kind of amazing. Like, I think one thing I get curious about is how much does that sort of delight people versus get tiring. But yeah, I think, you know, that's the thing that's really great is actually having this profoundly physical experience obviously affects you mentally much longer after you've been in space. And yeah, getting to sort of adjust back to gravity is actually very difficult for astronauts. So gravity, when they come back, is just profoundly, profoundly heavy on them, and to the point that astronauts that are coming back on the Russian Soyuz capsule have to be essentially cut out of the capsule and carried to chairs because they can't move at all because everything feels so, so heavy. And so having things like, you know, dreams where you're sort of still in space, I guess sort of makes sense. It might be sort of the body's way of trying to go back to where it was when life was a bit easier, when you didn't have to worry about gravity.
Yeah, I think that is the cool thing. You know, I think there is the other thing. You know, we, again, both of us mentioned, Ariel, about how people get so, because, again, of what we see, we get so caught up on, you know, these movies and how great things, you know, appear to be. Another thing that struck me when I was reading the book, on page 86, Overscheduled, where you talk about the schedule, and this is something I never thought about before. I don't know what I really thought they did all day. I knew they were there to work and to learn, but I did not realize, you know, how well their day was planned out for them. Did that surprise you? Was that something going into the book that you had already heard before?
I had heard it a little bit, but that's, you know, I had, you know, when I was casually talking with astronauts prior to putting the book together, I had heard it a bit. I certainly heard it a lot about spacewalks. So spacewalks are some of the most highly scripted experiences in space because they're not really meant to be fun. They're meant to, you know, fix major issues, and they want to minimize the amount of time astronauts are performing spacewalks because they're essentially just in a human-sized space capsule. They don't want to keep them there for very long. And so, yeah, with this story about astronauts in the 70s, they being so scheduled down to the minute, it really had a kind of a bad effect because they wanted to actually have scheduled time to be able to look out the window and enjoy being in space, and they didn't get any of that. They felt so overscheduled that they rebelled, and for a whole day they turned off their radios to mission control and decided we're just going to enjoy being in space and we're not going to be taking orders from the ground. Of course, mission control and NASA was not happy about this at all. This is, you know, something that's highly scary. If you lose contact with the people who are in space, like, a lot of bad things can happen. But they decided to rebel, and they wanted to look out the window and really wonder about being in space and seeing Earth. And so kind of ever since then, a lot of space programs are now a lot better about actually scheduling free time for astronauts and making sure that they get that time so that it's not simply overworking them to the point of not having any time to appreciate the time in space.
Right. So let's step back a little bit, Ariel. I mean, what has it been like for you now that the book is out and you're having conversations like the one you're having with us today? What has it been like for you to not only to share what you have learned yourself and the experience of others, but then to kind of see the little light bulbs going off with people and the reaction to the information that you've been able to put together in this book?
It's been just absolutely great. Like, I think one of the things that has been great to see and great to get good feedback on was that, you know, kids are enjoying this book as much as adults. And to me, there's a very rare amount of books in the world that can be equally enjoyed by kids and adults. And this book so far seems to be sort of hitting that mark. And that's been great for me because, you know, especially coming from a background not of science and going into NASA, to me, you know, space exploration really should be for everyone, and it shouldn't discriminate on, you know, age, race, you know, gender, any of that. You know, space really is for everyone and should be for everyone and should be made to be accessible for everyone. So, yeah, just getting the feedback that, you know, all different types of people have been enjoying this book, both science professionals and non-science professionals, kids, adults, women and men, has been great because I think that's really where space exploration is headed, and I think that's what everyone really needs to start picking up on, is that it really should be accessible for everyone.
Yeah. Did you feel like, because I know I did, and I'm so glad you mentioned that such a small group of individuals have experienced, you know, what you share in this book, did you find a new appreciation for those individuals that make that decision to go to leave everything that they know and the life that they know to be able to do this work that can be so vitally important?
Oh, absolutely. I think, you know, a question I get asked often is, you know, if I want to go into space. And really, that question for me personally gives me pause because of how much I know about going into space. And it's, you know, it's a great experience. Obviously, it's a profound one, and it's very rewarding. But there are a lot of things you need to be considering. You know, there's a lot of health risks about going into space. There's a lot of things you have to think about. For instance, a lot of astronauts actually have their eyesight, you know, diminished for some of them when they come back to Earth, and that doesn't ever return. Actually, most of the astronauts have their eyes checked while they're in space so as to perform better research about why this is happening. And so some astronauts who don't need glasses will come back to Earth and actually need glasses. But there's also other, you know, risks, you know, to do with, you know, slightly more radiation exposure and cardiovascular health. There's a lot of things to consider. And if you have, you know, attachments or love anyone back here on Earth, it's a thing to think about, you know, are you willing to go through a number of health risks and other, you know, considerations about going into space before you go. And I think we all, again, get into this whole romanticized version of space from the movies and media. But the reality is that, you know, you're dealing with a lot. Whether if it's not health issues, you're dealing with bodily fluid management constantly, it seems. And so I think going into space is something that is still a big deal. And I don't think it should ever be something that's seen as routine or ordinary per se. It should definitely be more accessible for more people to go. But it is a big leap. And so I think people need to appreciate that.
Yeah. I think that is so important. And I think, you know, this book also, you'll learn a lot. I know I learned a great deal, Ariel, and that's why I'm so glad that you've been able to compile this, to have the conversations. I'm a little jealous of some of them, I have to say, but it's okay. at least I get to live vicariously through you in reading the book. So, again, it's What's It Like in Space is a new book by Ariel Waldman, Stories from Astronauts Who've Been There. It's available now through our friends at Amazon.com, so you, of course, can get the book there. Ariel, how can our audience stay connected with you and keep up what's coming up next for you?
Yeah, I'm Ariel Waldman on most social media, and they can also find me at my website, arielwaldman.com, which is arielwaldman.com.
All right. Well, Ariel, thank you so much for the time. I know you've been doing a lot of these chats, and we appreciate you taking out the time to be with us today.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much for having me.
Hey, the pleasure is definitely all mine. And we thank you, our audience, for joining us for another great segment of Conversations Live. If you all came in late and you missed part of the conversation and you're joining us online, you all can catch the replay right after we go off the air. The link is already available through our social media friends. I've already tagged Ariel, actually, on Twitter, so you can find her Twitter handle on our page. Just head over to twitter.com/CyrusWeb. You can click on the link there, listen to this show completely for free, and share it with your friends from there. Also, the link is on our Facebook page at facebook.com/CyrusWeb. So you can be able to listen to it from there as well. Until next time, I'm your host, Cyrus Webb, saying, as always, enjoy your day, enjoy your life, enjoy your world. Make sure you take out time to enjoy some good music as well as a great book. Thank you all for choosing Conversations Live today. You all make it a great one.